what would National Hunt Racing be without a little choice? Jockey or trainer? Bay or grey? Form or silks? And now, Paddy Power's new money-back tokens give you even more choice, because you choose the race to apply your token to. Get money back as a free bet if your horse finishes in the designated places on a race of your choosing. Just look out for our money-back token promos and claim your token however you like. Paddy Power. Applies to races with eight or more runners. Opt-in required. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
The weekend is upon us. Welcome to the From the Horse's Mouth Weekend Tipping Show with our now usual twosome of Rory DeLargy and Joe Logue, who's safely ensconced in HQ. You're in the office a lot, Joe. You seem to always be in the office.
Yeah, it's my first day this week, to be fair. I'm in the office over the weekend. I was back home in Cork for the last couple of days working from home and had a few days off. So I'm back here again now.
Commuting from the real capital. Tell you.
It's a long old drive. Treacherous roads last night, but it's worth it just to get a breath of Cork air.
Well, those of you who watched on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel, the Cheltenham Countdown Extra, there's also the Cheltenham Countdown show as well with other people. But if you did watch the Extra show, that we had a comment that about a fan of the show who used to remember Frank Hickey pulling pints in Kilbritton. Would that be anywhere near where you're from, Joe?
No, I'm from the city, Kilbritton. I couldn't even tell you where it is, but I was listening to that on the drive back up to Dublin last night, and Frank mentioned the Courthouse Tavern was a usual haunt of mine. We used to go in and see one of the lads' uncle play guitar in there, a few pints and a bit of, you know, Irish traditional folk songs and all that, and across the road into Havana's then after. Back in my heyday, that was the regular. Frank wasn't there pulling pints now, but it was good crack all the same.
Back in my heyday, DeLargy, how does that make you feel when the fella there who's still got all the hair, not a grey in his head, is saying, back in my heyday?
I remember Kilbritton Castle, the horse.
My age. Of course you do. What did he win?
He was a Sandown specialist over 2 miles. Used to get behind and then rattle home. I met Kath Walman once and asked her what her favourite horse was, and she said him. So there you go.
Kilbritton Castle. There may not even be, there probably is, a Kilbritton Castle, but there you go. Okay, Kilbritton Castle and Kilbritton. Multiple mentions for Kilbritton. How are you, Rory? You seem a little bit better. You had a rough week last week, but you seem like you're back on the mend.
I'm largely better. Largely. 95%, I would say.
Largely, but we'll take that. 95, we'll take 95%. Of course, your show is available to be watched on the Paddy Power Racing YouTube channel as well. That's Cheltenham County and yourself and Nina Carby, who I must say, Rory, you were extremely rough on. Poor Nina Carby.
Yeah.
You were a horrible, horrible
unintentionally,
passer.
I have to say. But in fairness, she didn't deck me afterwards. So that's always
good.
Yes.
She had every
And it wasn't her fault. You can watch that on YouTube if you want. She wants to go one way. And Karanja, who was he was a tricky horse. He wanted to run in the opposite direction, which he did very shortly after the start. And unfortunately, Nina was naively expecting him to go in the same direction as the other horses. So
seriously, check it out. Not just the Karanja unseat, which I think next time Rory meets Nina, he's going to. Do you want to watch it again? This is what happened. Maybe we could learn something. What you could have done differently. I assume put in missed that bumper, and you'll probably find on YouTube or whatever year it was. I don't know what year it was. Yeah, you'll find it at the start. I'm sure Nina won't be watching it again, but Rory was very keen to mention it again in front of Nina Carby. That's available to you as well as the Cheltenham Countdown show itself on Paddy Power Racing YouTube, and you'll be back on Monday, Rory, and Ruby be back. I always ask what races you're looking forward to, but we don't know this
day. The Fox Hunter is one of them, although it's not called the Fox Hunter.
No, the St. James's Place Festival Hunter's Chase, thank you very much.
And the Kim Muir, that's in there as well. Yeah, all the good ones.
Okay, amateur-tastic. All right. I'm supposed to mention a few things. Let's mention, I've covered YouTube. Don't forget Cheltenham Countdown, not Cheltenham Countdown, the Cheltenham Fan Zone. If you haven't been to this here in Ireland, we're going to book out the entire Camden on Camden Street and go in there on Gold Cup Day, which is obviously the Friday of Cheltenham. Buy the tickets as a show. There's a link in the show notes to the tickets. I think it's about £25, and you're going to get free drink tokens, free bets, free merch. And it sold out the last few years. So if you want to go, really good fun, really kicks off a brilliant bank holiday weekend. Grab a few mates and enjoy the Friday. It is very good fun. And Fran Berry informed us on the Fridays with Fran podcast that it is the biggest single indoor screen in Europe in the Camden. I mean, that man has some spurious knowledge. But there you go. That is the Camden. Do check it out. Joe, we'll be working. Sorry, you'll be working. I'm actually not working on the Friday, but you'll probably be working.
Yeah, definitely working. It's already penciled in.
I bet it is, Cheltenham week. Okay, let's talk about the racing this weekend. This Saturday, we're going to focus on the ITV action, and we're going to go to Ascot, where the ground is an unseasonable good to soft at the moment. So quick ground horses, I suppose, for jumpers. The 150 is the first race we'll look at. It's the big novice chase over 3 miles, the Reynolds Town. Apple Away, a 7-5 favourite. Again, just to confirm, we're recording at 12:40 on Thursday afternoon. So this is the very first show of prices. 7-5 Apple Away, 11-4 Kilbeg King for Anthony Honeyball and Sam Twiston Davies, 7-2 Brave Kingdom for Nichols and Cobden, 9-2 Henry's Friend, and that is 20-1 the King of Bribe Hope. So just the five runners. Off we go, Rory.
Yes, not an easy race despite the five runners. There's one I like in this race for an entirely different race, who I'll give a quick mention to first. I'm not sure Henry's Friend will stay 3 miles. His form thus far has come at sort of 2.5, 2.6 miles. He did try 3 miles at Aintree in a handicap hurdle last year's Grand National meeting and didn't get home. And I'd be concerned about his stamina here for the trip. But I do think he's a horse with a big handicap in him at around 2.5. So I kind of hope he's a non-stayer here and maybe gets dropped a pint or two in the handicap and turns up at Cheltenham with the plate or something like that, because I think he's one to be interested in at 2.5 miles. But over this trip, Apple Away should take the beating. She was better in the result at Warwick last time out when Patrick Wadge, the claimer who rode her, got into a bit of a war with Broadway Boy. The pair of them cut each other's throats in front, and then she had nothing left of the finish when Great Dawning came through to win. She doesn't need to lead. She didn't lead in a three-runner race at Leicester in her previous start. Let something else do the donkey work there and came through to win very easily on that occasion. I heard Lucinda Russell say that she looks very light at the moment, and she said it in a positive way, but I don't like anyone saying this horse looks very light. You know, she says she's obviously ready to run, and I don't like them being too light, to be perfectly honest. But she doesn't carry an awful lot of condition. She's quite lengthy. And she would be quite a lightly built mare anyway, but she's clearly fit enough to do herself justice. And the whole thing about the Lucinda Russell yard, as we say constantly, the horses really flourish in the spring. And the question is whether you're defining the spring at the moment. Certainly the sun's out now. It looks a lot nicer than it has been for a while, but she's the one to beat on form, but I don't think it's necessarily straightforward for her. And I'm not mad to be backing her at a very short price. I thought Brave Kingdom would be a tough enough contender here as well. He'd been off the track for quite a while before making his reappearance in a novices handicap chase at Plumpton, which he won. That form is nothing special, but he stepped up on that when he beat a good yardstick at Newbury last time out. Again, showed a really good attitude to get the better of Theatre Man. Theatre Man ended up finishing third, pulling Stumps Ran on late in the day to be second, but Theatre Man was the favourite that day. He and Brave Kingdom get into a battle throughout that. Brave Kingdom found loads for pressure to get up and win late on, and Theatre Man has run very well since to frank the form. He was second to Ginny's Destiny at Cheltenham in the time form novices handicap chase. Obviously Ginny's Destiny is, well, favourite now, I think, for the Turners, isn't he? With the
Yeah,
Dynamite,
got to be close enough, yeah. With Game Warrior stuffing up
In terms of in the you know, not the non runner money back market, the outright market, because Denny's Destiny is definitely going for that race. So that's solid form. He's a real trier, and I'd certainly give him a chance of stepping up again. It's a tough race to punt in for me. I'm not mad on Kilbeg King. He'd be second favorite, wouldn't he? Mm-hmm. He ran very well on the face of it when third in the Cotto Star, behind Ile Francais. Just think he was slightly flattered by the way that race panned out. Sam Twiston Davis sat off the pace and then made ground on the second circuit, just saved ground all the way, briefly moved up to get into second place halfway up the home straight before fading back out of it again. On paper, it's a very good run. It's a lot better than his previous two starts over fences, but I think it may just flatter him a little bit. And I'd probably have him in his third favourite. So the one who's slightly overpriced is Brave Kingdom, but maybe not enough for me to be remortgaging the house.
No, we wouldn't advise that. How's the house hunt going? The back in County Antrim, you were looking. Are you still looking?
Yeah, yeah. So it's you know, it ebbs and flows, put it that way.
Okay. Ebbs and flows. All right, we'll keep an eye. If Banbridge wins, you surely have to, at Cheltenham, you surely have to move back to the area, right?
That's I saw Cribilly won the other day. I looked at a house in Cribilly.
Where is that? Where's Cribilly?
Cribilly's near Ballymena. If Taoiseach wins the bumper, little tiny little hamlet near Ballymena as well, you know, good move there. Who knows?
According to Frank Hickey, he won't be running in the bumper on the Cheltenham Countdown Extra. That's what he was saying.
I heard that. Although Paul Nicholls, but around the same time, was doing an interview saying he probably would run in the bumper. So
yeah, probably. I like that "probably" word. That's probably right, Joe.
I get his viewpoint, but there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Joe, a rather lukewarm start from Rory there in the Sodexo Live, Reynoldstown. Forgot to give the sponsor a shout. Your thoughts?
Lukewarm, yeah, but I think Rory covered the race really well there, and kind of the vibe I was getting from him is that he'd be keen enough to take on the favourite at the prices, and that's kind of the way I was looking at the race as well. Just touching on Henry's friend, Rory mentioned that, you know, he'd maybe eyeing him off for a handicap. I don't know what, like, some British trainers would be doing when they're campaigning horses, because like a mark of 134, you take some beating in a handicap over 2.5 miles. He's into, you know, graded company here. If he does run well, he's probably going to blow his handicap mark. You know, so again, like Rory, I'd have my eye on him further down the road, hoping that doesn't feature here. Like I said, I want to take on the favourite. I think she's a good mare. I don't know if she's a really good mare. The price looks a bit skimpy to me. She was shorter. She was evens during the week. She's out to 7-5 now. And take her choice between Kilbeg King and Brave Kingdom. And I've gone the opposite way of Rory here and gone with Kilbeg King. Look, he's rated a pound higher than Apple Away and has to give her weight through the mare's allowance. But maybe he was flattered by the run of Dakota Star last time out, but you know, on paper he's only beaten 3.5 lengths behind Hermes Allen, who was second that day. He might have been flattered, but I think he's improved for the step up to 3 miles as well. He over hurdles, 3 miles was his trip. He was second on the blind side Newbury over 3 miles, and then he went to Punchestown over essentially 3 miles and won that big handicap hurdle as well. So look, coming over to Ireland and winning a handicap, albeit over 126 over hurdles, shows that he does have a bit of class. He looks like a horse on breeding and that should improve for fences. I think he has. I think his chase form is pretty decent behind Oroco, Golden Sun on chase debut. Golden Sun has been a bit disappointing, but again, a step up to 3 miles last time out. I thought maybe it did flatter him, but I thought he definitely improved for it. So he'd be the way I'd be siding here, looking to take on the favourite.
Okay, Kilbeg King for Joe, Brave Kingdom for Rory. I think if the race planner job at Ben Pauling's ever comes up, don't think you're going to get it there, Joe. Not going to comment. You may struggle if you're going to put the application in there. I don't know what these UK trainers be doing.
Well, Gary Moore did the same with Haddock's Dezobo, didn't he? Put him in the Henry VIII to start the season. He was on for Macca 150. He'd take some beating in the handicap as well. And, you know,
Tingle Creek.
Yeah.
Well, then he lost the horse anyway. Moved to Nicky Henderson straight after that and then missed the rest of the season anyway. So, but yes, I take the point.
So that's Gary Moore also ruled out. Good man, Joe. Keep him coming.
I think that might be more owner related as well. Of course, you know, certain owners do want their horses to be running in the top company. So
true that. The industry Thoroughbred Industry Awards employee awards at handicap hurdle, the 225 at Ascot is the next race we'll look at. Big field or big-ish field anyway. Double figures. What have we got? 15? Oh, no, we have 16. Excellent. Right, rare edition. The 11-2 favourite for Harry Cobbs and Charlie Longston. You've got 6-1 for Monville for Harry Derham, friend of the show. 6-1 Rambo T. Bad. Now, this fella's been a talking horse for a long time. Will he get it done? Sevens, and he's been backed in the anti-post market. Irish Hill for Paul Nichols and Freddie Gingell, and that's 15-2, and it's 10's bar. All right, Joe, you get first pick in the big handicap hurdle.
Tough race, extra place here, so I'd be looking to take a swing at one each way, but kind of, I was the one who's adjusting these prices, so the ones I like, I kind of took Nick's off. So, look, we've been laying bad. All the money's coming for him again, a big talking horse. Rambo T was really impressive. It was really well back last time out of Newbury, but I'm going with Monville for Harry Derham. He came from Philip Hobbs. He's with Harry Derham for the season. He went chasing and, you know, was only beaten 2 lengths behind JPR One and then kind of bombed out the next day at Ascot. But look, his form over hurdles last year for Philip Hobbs was pretty good. He was fifth in the Betfair hurdle, fifth in the Imperial Cup at Sandown. And look, all due respect to Philip Hobbs, I don't want to burn my bridges there, but I think Harry Derham should be improving this horse as well. Like, he returns back over hurdles in a tough race for the few extra places. He'd be the way I side him returning back over hurdles.
Actually, two trainers you've just, it's Philip Hobbs and Johnson White there, who you've just added as never going to be race planner.
I might be on, I might be on the good list with Harry Durham, though.
Fingers, well, we know he listens, or at least he watches the Cheltenham Countdown, as per Rory De Largy's chance encounter with Harry Durham in the airport. Did he mention Monville to you that time, Rory?
He didn't, no. No, in fairness, I didn't grill him on the horses. I just let him, you know, try to work his way to what a good presenter you were.
Fair enough. And you never got there. Yeah. Yeah. Go on then. What do you fancy?
I actually like Bad in this race. It's a bit annoying to see the price sort of sliding away a little bit. But he gets an interesting comment from Timeform last time out. They basically say, they give him a squiggle for the run last time out and say he looked temperamental. I look back on that race three or four times and I don't really see that. He struggled to go the pace. He was up there early. He sort of dropped back a few places, but didn't actually lose an awful lot of ground. And then he's kept on again at the finish. He's got crossed by the winner coming to the last hurdle, which hasn't done him any harm and then hasn't done him any good. And then he sort of kept on for a third. I thought the issue with him last time was that he found the ground too quick. Good. It was genuinely good ground. It's good to saw soft in places for Ascot this weekend. It'll be a little bit softer. Interestingly, they've given him wind surgery since then. So maybe he made a noise at some point in the race as well. But I think if a horse is trying to drop itself out, if that's a temperament issue, what you notice is they're jumping. If a horse doesn't really want to go forward in a race like that, what they'll do, they'll put the brakes on coming into a hurdle. That's the best way of losing ground. If you want to drop yourself out, every single hurdle he pinged. So I have no real issue with that. He might benefit from the headgear, but I thought, although he has slightly high head carriage, a lot of horses with slight wind problems do that, and they've given him wind surgery since. I think that'll do him good. And interestingly, for a horse who on his first run travelled really well and didn't get home, he's actually suggested he wants a bit further than 2 miles as well. He's been done for two at crucial points of his races this season before plugging on, and I think he'll benefit from the slightly softer ground and the step up and trip here. So I thought there's lots to like about Bad, and I like the way he's gone this season. Yeah, obviously, they thought he was really well handicapped when he came here last year, and he made his UK debut in the Fred Winter. And that's a pretty tough starting point. And if that doesn't work out for you, then you're kind of back to the drawing board straight away. So he caught the eye to a degree on a second start, but he was already deemed to be disappointing because the world and his wife were talking about him before Cheltenham. And it's never easy going into a race at the Cheltenham Festival as your yard debut. And I think his form this season is a lot more consistent and likable. And although he didn't please everyone last time out, as I said, I didn't think he did an awful lot wrong. I think he maybe got done for two. But he kept himself in it with his jumping and he kept on well. The form of that's worked out as well, by the way. I know it wasn't the greatest race in the world. He was currently 12 stone two that day, which wouldn't be the easiest in the world for a he's quite a small horse. So giving lumps of weight away to lesser horses, maybe not ideal for a horse of his build. I think he'd be in a better position receiving weight from better horses and then going that little bit further, which will suit him. So cheek pieces and wind surgery, one of those might well do the trick for him, but I think he's running well enough to think that he's going to be in the frame here anyway.
Michael Jackson fans, delighted. Bad, the selection from Rory Monville for Joe, which means a couple of selections for Ben Pauling. From both the lads in the first couple of races. Right, let's move on to the 3 o'clock. It is the Indra Jockey Fund Ambassadors Programme Swinley Handicap Chase, 3 miles, a premier handicap. Now, I can reveal Iron Bridge, we're talking, he's still in this race, but I'm just looking at the Racing Post website and apparently his first preference is for the 3:15, the Grand National Trial at Haydock, so we can probably assume he won't be running. Victorino, 7-2 favourite for Vernice Williams and Charlie Deutsch, big Saturday for them. 3-5 for Nichols and Cobden, 4-1. As I said, Iron Bridge, 5-1, could well be a non-runner by the time you listen to this. Shan Blue, remember him, Grade 1 winner. Well, he seemed to come back to form, or at least, maybe not back to form, but signs of life last time out for the Skeletons at 6-1. Do Your Job for Charlie Longson is 8-1, as is Revels Hill and Larry 12. Okay, let's assume Iron Bridge doesn't go here, Rory. I assume you weren't going to tip him anyway. Well, it's a guess.
Well, if he was a runner here, I might have made a case for him, because I think he's a very, very interesting horse, but he does want beyond 3 miles. So I'm glad to see him running over the 3.5 in the national trial. I don't think there were that many you could like in this race. 3 under 3.5 will be happy going back right-handed again. I know he ran perfectly well at Cheltenham last time out, but I think he's a slightly better horse going right-handed. But he just doesn't win races. So although he's got the class to go close here, he's hard to back for win purposes. He can get chances to Victorino. He obviously won here over course and distance, the first two starts of the season. Chamblou can't have, though. I know he was back to form-ish, but he'd run three absolutely awful races from the end of 2022 until that race at Ascot last time. And that race at Ascot, listen, I know Harper's Brook won next time out, but Harper's Brook is Harper's Brook. He should have won this race by 20 lengths. He travelled much the best through the race. His jockey, Keelan Woods, then has tried to make sure that he didn't burst him up the straight so that he could ask him for a bit more of an effort from the last. So he's let the two of them, Triple Trade and Chamblou, get reasonably close between the last two fences. He then kicked on again at the last, and he's come out of about 7 lengths clear and travelling much better than them. And then he's just put the brakes on with 100 yards to go. Interestingly, watching the replay of that, it's as he passes the half furlong post that he puts the brake, almost as if he's mistaken the winning post, not the jockey, but the horse. But that's the winning post. There you go. I can pull up now. And he literally pulled himself up in front. So Triple Trade and Chamblou got very close. But the pair of them were well beaten. Triple Trade, everything that came from that race and has run again, apart from Harper's Brook, Triple Trade's run again since. We haven't seen Chamblou, obviously. Black Jerry, Captain Matan, El Barra, they've all run since. Not one of them has beaten another horse. So I think it's just rank bad form. And although Chamblou theoretically should be better stepping up to this trip, I think his wind went a fair while ago when I wouldn't trust him back at 3 miles, even though his old form would suggest that he should absolutely bolt up off his current mark. I just didn't think there was enough in that run to think that he was back to form. So he's off the list. Ironbridge doesn't run. Revels Hill's last run was, right, he was third in this race last year, hasn't run this season. He runs off the same mark, but the form of the race hasn't worked out particularly well since. So I think he would need to be stepping up to win off the same mark. Ballygriffin Cottage is a bit like Chamblou for Dan Skelton. He came out first time last season and looked an absolute superstar. He bolted up in a graduation chase at Haydock, beat my old friend Beauport. And I thought, this horse has to be really good. He has not beaten a rival since that. He looked like a Gold Cup horse one day and then a selling plater the next. So I don't know what to make of him at the moment. You couldn't really back him on what he's done. Rapper Bleeds. So his form has gone through the floor. I mentioned Do Your Job last time, starting out for Charlie Longston, because he was one of those that was with Michael Scudamore, then went to Lucinda Russell when Michael Scudamore went up to basically act as assistant there, or you know, co-trainer or whatever, and he's now come back down again. I'd give Do Your Job chances here, but I'd be concerned about the trip. I think he's capable of winning off his mark, but whether he wants 3 miles, whether you can trust Larry to win two on the bounce is a question mark. And I kind of end up coming back to my old pal Tornan Freyd at the bottom and thinking, well, he might be overpriced here. What price is he?
18 to 1.
See, now the problem with Tornan Freyd this season is your age old Nigel Twist and Davis problem. Is you've got a nice horse. Cheltenham is very handy. They've got lots of nice races worth lots of money. So you just run them in all the best races at Cheltenham that he can get into, and he gets a bit fed up with it. I thought he shaped really well in his return from a long absence when falling in the Paddy Power Gold Cup. He then ran respectably in the December Gold Cup next time out, finishing sixth. And his jumping let him down last time out on softer ground in the Paddy Power New Year's Day chase at Cheltenham, but those are all what would have been grade three handicaps last season. He's been banging his head against the brick wall a little bit. Ironically, his last win was in a similar race like that. It wasn't on a trials day handicap. The Paddy Power Cheltenham Countdown Podcast handicap chase, in actual fact.
Get in.
Grade three last season. So he's not really had much of a chance to show what he can do. Horses have been off the track for as long as he has. You need to get your eye in again, and he's not really been given a chance to get his eye in. The handicapper at least has given him a little bit of a chance. He was out of the handicap last time anyway, so he's now £8 lower than for that run. And he finds himself in a much less competitive race. I can see him on slightly quicker ground. He doesn't want it really soft. And obviously two of his three runs this season have come on very soft ground. And if you look through his historic form, his best form is probably on good to soft. He was well held at Haydock. The run before he won that good handicap at Cheltenham two seasons ago. And this will be the fastest ground he's been on this season. I can see him bouncing back. Nigel Twiston Davis, the old pattern of his form would be that he'd have loads of winners September and October into the December meeting, sorry, the November meeting at Cheltenham. And then he would have one winner from December through to March. And then maybe he'd come good again at the festival. These days, he's placing his horses generally a lot better. And he's keeping the horses, he's campaigning them in a way that means they're winning through the season still. So he's still in decent form. And Torn and Frayed might be able to spring a shock here. Victorino was the only one that I've gone through that I couldn't say anything nasty about, and he's probably the biggest danger. But I'll happily take a chance on Torn and Frayed at a big price with bottom weight.
All right. Process of elimination to a degree, but Torn and Frayed a big price. Joe?
Rory's covered it. Really, it's a poor enough race when you kind of strip back all the form. He's taking a swing at a bigger price, and I used my process of elimination to side with Victorino. I actually put him up last time when he ran at Cheltenham off the same mark. And look, twice course and distance winner, and he returns back to this track off a mark that the market was pretty confident of going well at Cheltenham. He didn't really run. He's a bit disappointed. He was beaten before they even turned in that day. But look, off mark 146, returning to a course and distance, which he's had plenty of success at. You know, he's the obvious option for me. And a bit like Rory, it's more not really liking anything else rather than really liking him. But I think he's a solid chance here. Look, we all know Venetia Williams does really well with these types of horses. He's still only a six-year-old, so there's a pretty decent chance that there's plenty of improvement to come. The only negative is that the yard is a bit quiet, and you know she does go through patches of being, you know, really, you know, banging in the winners and being really quiet. But other than that, I think look, Victorino looks the real obvious option for me here. 7-2, I think, is a fair enough price.
Okay, Victorino. So very much top and bottom of the market covered there with Torn and Frayed.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Right, the big race on Saturday is the Betfair Ascot Chase. 2 miles, 5 furlongs, a grade one contest. 4 runners declared for it. And Lompress is the one to beat. Could be a big half hour for Venetia Williams and Charlie Deutsch. 8-11, so pushed it out once the declarations came through because it was 4-7 during the week. Pictory, 9-4. We know he loves the course of distance. Ahoy Senor, 5-1. And 25-1 Sail Away. Okay, Joe, you get the floor for the 3:36 at Ascot.
Tough race. Lompress has been fairly weak all week, really. Like, we didn't really lay a penny on him. I think he was 7-4 on when we initially opened up the market. Again, we eased him and eased him and eased him, and he's 11-8 on at the moment. Pictory has been one for money. He's been backed in. He's 9-4. Probably looks about right. It's a tough race, really, to have a massive opinion. If I know Rory last time at Lingfield, he said that Venetia Williams' record, which he was dead on with, she has a good record bringing horses back from a big break. I just wonder what her record is in terms of, you know, continuing that winning streak with the horse. It would be interesting to know, because I suppose if you are a punter taking odds on about a horse like him, you know, is the bounce factor a genuine concern? He's returning here with, you know, 3 weeks since he made his seasonal debut, really, and his first run off a year-long break. So that is definitely a concern for punters. Maybe that's why he is a bit weak. I'm not too sure. Pictory for me is a horse that's, you know, a grade two horse, even though he did win a grade one at the end of last year. I think, look, genuinely, I think he is a grade two horse. I find it hard enough to back him into prices as well. So look, it's probably a no bet race for me. If the favorite got very short, maybe you could take a chance laying him on the exchange if people wanted to play it that way. But look, I don't think I'd be signing with anything. It's a race that I'd be looking at, and at the prices, you know, nothing really tempts me.
Fair enough. That's a pass from Joe, and that passes directly to you, Mr. Delargy.
Yeah, listen, I like Lompress as an individual. Joe makes a really good point about Venetia's record up with them off a long break. And interestingly, the only winner she's had in the last 3 weeks was a horse having its first start for almost 3 years. So, you know, the angle of Venetia and the reason she always seems much quieter maybe this time of year is because she has such a good record with those seasonal debutants, particularly horses running in handicap chases off a break. And obviously, there's only so many you can keep bringing off the conveyor belt through the season. You know, eventually they all have to run. And when they're running back to, you know, backing up fairly quickly, then the record isn't quite so good. Whereas you would expect, normally that would be the other way around. Horses tend to need to run after a break. Second time up, they get a better record for most yards. Doesn't tend to be the way with Venetia, although they can. A horse called Etcha Party was her first winner of the season, or the season proper, you know, and, at the end of October. He turned up about a week later and won again. So, you know, they can back up, but it's a slight question mark. It's less of a question mark, I think, with the very best horses. The very best horses kind of stand apart, and they should be able to do their own thing. So he's definitely the one to beat, but I've taken a chance here. I've backed a Hoisignor for this. And I've had a little double Hoisignor and another horse you love, PK, at the weekend. I thought he was overpriced. Listen, he was a massive eye catcher at Cheltenham last time out. He travelled best of all in the Cotswold Chase, and Steve McQueen, his off side stirrup leather broke at the third last fence, and that was his race over, essentially, because this is not the easiest horse to steer at the best of times, but when you've only got one foot in your iron, it doesn't help. So he ended up getting thrown forward on landing at that fence, and he ended up getting thrown forward again at the last fence that they jumped, and has ended up finishing fourth of the four finishers, but he shaped an awful lot better than that. He may well be on his way to the Ryanair. Listen, after that, I backed about 100-1 for the Gold Cup, but I suspect that they're going to go Ryanair because they got Corak Rambler in the Gold Cup. And there's a fair argument that although he's got plenty of form around 3 miles, that he's worth trying over a slightly shorter trip and just letting him roll along. And given that his form tends to pick up in the spring every year, that makes plenty of sense. So I thought, given that he shaped an awful lot better last time out after a couple of very disappointing runs this season, he was worth chancing at the prices. I still think L'Empressé is a likely a winner on paper, but I don't think a Hoisignor was a sort of a, I mean, he was 7-1, 8-1 during the week, and I thought that underestimated his chance considerably. So it made it fairly easy for me here.
You say you backed a double. You have a double.
I know. Well, I thought
you must have been feeling very.
Well, I thought I was only going to back a Hoisignor, and I thought, well, Colonel Mustard's a good thing, isn't he? So
we'll get to that. Oh my goodness, Colonel Mustard. Let's go to Wincanton. One of the big race days of the year features the Kingwell Hurdle, the 205. I was going to say Champion Hurdle Trial, but I don't think anyone's going to believe that. Rubaud is the.
You're going to have so much egg in your face after this. Aren't you?
Yeah, well, yeah. When Rubaud wins the Champion Hurdle, yeah, potentially. Okay, I'm happy to stand over it. Rubaud, the one to beat in the feature at Wincanton's live on ITV. He's 2-1 favorite. It's 5-2 Colonel Mustard, 7-2 Namian Lion, 6-1 Goshen, 13-2 Guard Your Dreams. Okay, Rory, then make the case for the horse that never wins a race to win a race.
Well. First things first, you've got to look at the form lines here with Colonel Mustard. He was a horse I put up a couple of years ago for the County Hurdle at Cheltenham. It was a great each-way bet. And he could beat by State Man. That looks reasonably good form now. He was second in the Moor Battle Hurdle at Kelso, last March. And then he went for the Scottish Champion Hurdle, where he was beaten by a certain Rubo. He was given £11 to Rubo that day, and he was beaten 3 lengths. He now gets £6 off Rubo, and on that form, he should be turning the tables. He's not. Lorna thought that he would make a 2.5 mile chaser. I can't say I was massively behind that. I don't think he's a 2.5 miler for a kickoff. But obviously, you know, he was beaten by a find of 50 on his return. At Down Royal, that's a pretty good looking effort now, but he's just a little bit slow in the air at his fences to think that he's really going to make the grade there at the moment anyway. And he was disappointing at Newbury then in the John Frankham. So back over hurdles now. This is his trip, I believe. I know Lorna was tossing up whether to run him here or run him in the Red Mills. And in a manner of speaking, the Red Mills would have been the easier option. It looks a very weak race. But he's got he's essentially got Rubo to beat here. And on the form they showed at Ayr in the spring, he's got the beating of Rubo. Rubo's maybe improved a little bit since then, but I don't think he's taken a massive step forward. you know, I don't think you can extrapolate much from the fact that he was second in the Christmas hurdle. He had the run of the race there in a slowly run race and then was just left behind by Constitution Hill. You know, you're beaten 9.5 lengths by the champion hurdler. It's nothing to be ashamed of, but the race was set up for Rubo that day. He's suited by being able to do his own thing. Whether he wants really deep ground is a slight question mark as well. I know he won the elite hurdle here early in the season on softish ground, but his best form last season has been when speed has really been at a premium. And he was a bit disappointing in the what they're still calling the international hurdle for no good reason whatsoever at Cheltenham. That name needs to be dropped, doesn't it?
Not very international anyway. Don't really know why it was ever called that.
Well, because they called the meeting that it was run at the international meeting. So that was the yeah. Because
it's the bloody Beulah.
They went out of the way to try to get horses from France and stuff to come over for that. It didn't really work, but it was the international meeting, so the international hurdle. Well, it's now not at the international meeting, which is no longer the international meeting, so it definitely shouldn't be the international hurdle. Get Beulah back in again, absolutely. But yeah, so he's a wee bit disappointing there on paper. He's never really achieved a massive amount on the clock without being rude. I mean, he's a very likable horse, Rubo, but he's never really convinced as a champion hurdle prospect. And giving the fact that he's given £6 away is the big difference here. And also the fact that Harry Cobden's off and Lachlan Williams is on. Lachlan Williams is not a bad jockey, but he's not as good a jockey as Harry Cobden. That's definitely a slight disadvantage. So I'd be more than happy to be with Colonel Mustard here. My understanding is that the plan is to go for the champion hurdle on the back of this because there's place money to be had. And that's partly why he's abandoned fences for the time being and is going down the champion hurdle route. Where he goes later in the spring, I don't know, but he's got a very realistic chance of winning this race on the ratings. And while, listen, I don't deny that he's not the easiest in the world to win with, but most of those races where he's been beaten by better horses, horses who were entitled to beat them on the day. Whereas on this occasion, he should have the beating of Rubo on that Scottish champion hurdle line, and if he does get beaten, then you can call him names.
I'm already doing it. I'm already calling him names. All right, Colonel Mustard at Wincanton with the Jacob as Darrell to win at the Kingwell. Go on, Joe.
Agree totally with Rory, 100%. Very, very keen to take on the favourite here. Look, like a national hunt horse that runs in the winter that has been basically race planned to avoid soft ground. All of Rubo's form is on better ground. Even in France, like when he was a young horse, he was well beaten on very soft and only won eventually when he was moved on to better ground. And look, I think Colonel Mustard, like, I you're probably laughing, PK, but look, I think this is a massive chance for him. Again, I don't want to repeat everything Rory said. He's covered it very well there on that Scottish champion hurdle form, reversing the weights, returning onto heavier ground is going to suit Colonel Mustard. Look, I really, really fancy him. I can't see Rubo beating him here. Look, even the chasing, like Rory said, he wasn't suited to it, but his form isn't all bad. Obviously, beaten a long, long way last time out, but that Down Royal run is looking pretty good. He was behind State Man in the champion hurdle of Punchestown after only beating 9 lengths. Look, I think, like again, like Rory said, if he doesn't win this, you can call him names, but I really fancy him here. I think he's a good bet.
Smell a double nap, lads. You just see, I can smell it already. Anyway, Colonel Mustard strong in the Kingwell. One win from 12 starts over hurdles. Right, we move on to the 240 at Haydock. This is the Rendlesham Grade 2, 3 miles and half a furlong. Botox, is the favourite, Keelan Quinn and Gary Moore at 9-4. Joint favourite with Ollie Murphy's Butch, who's on a great winning run of 3 in a row. Red Risk for Paul Nichols and Briony Frost, 3-1, 5-1. The return of Sounds Russian. Frank was keen on at a big prices for the Gold Cup, but obviously got brought down last season. We haven't seen him since. Wakul is a big price, as is Martha Bray. All right, Joe, the Rendlesham. A bit of spice with Sounds Russian's return into this sphere, but looks like it's between the top three, or is it?
Yeah, I think it's between the top three myself. Sound Russian is definitely a lurker, has been off since March of last year. Whether he's going to be fit and ready to run at Haydock, the betting will probably tell on the day. It's a bit of a risk for me, so I prefer to look elsewhere. And one I kind of narrowed down on was Butch. Look, it is a little bit of a tough race, but look, he's always looked the type that wants kind of bad enough ground, and 3 miles. He's by Cave Tower on Breeding. He should want it as well. I thought he improved, although he's only beaten my Bobby Dazzler neck last time. I thought he improved again. Looks like a horse that's going to need time. He's 4 wins from 7 runs over hurdles. Ollie Murphy's in cracking form as well. He's 37% the last 14 days. Look, his form isn't, you know, it's not setting the world alight, but I think it's solid. I think he's entitled to improve at racing. Conditions will definitely suit him. And yeah, I think Butch is the one to beat here.
You're named after Butch Harmon, I wonder. Is it Butch Cassidy? Butch Harmon? Not sure. Rory?
Which Butch?
Bad on the winner. Bad on the winner.
It's a tricky enough race. I think Botox Ha will win this if he's back to the form he showed when winning at Wetherby first time out. We give weight and a beating to Red Risk that day with Dashiell Thrasher back in third. He hasn't quite been in the same form since, but he's been in tougher races. He was in the long walk hurdle next time out. Obviously, Dashiell Thrasher turned the tables on him on that occasion. He'd have been a lot closer, but for a bad mistake at the second last on that occasion. He's still confirmed form with Red Risk, the likes of Goshen in behind as well. And then he ran, again, perfectly respectably in the Cleve Hurdle next time. A slightly messy race, that. Again, he spoiled his chance with a mistake at a crucial point in the race, and that can be his Achilles heel. But he tends to jump better. I'm probably pushing it a bit there. He tries to jump a little bit better on a flatter track, but he's liable to throw in a mistake when you're not expecting it anyway. That's the worry with him. But he's more than capable of running to a higher level than the others in this race if he can avoid the errors. And I'm hoping he can do that here. Obviously, of course, a distance winner. He's that run at Wetherby, a similar sort of track to here as well. I know he's got winning form at Cheltenham. Going back, so you can't really make an excuse for the try, but he wasn't beaten far last time out, and again, without the mistake that he made, what, 3 out that day, he'd have been very close. So he doesn't need to improve to be winning this. He just needs to not absolutely destroy one of the hurdles on the way around.
Yeah, ideal. Alright, Botox Has or Ha, Butch for Joe, Botox Ha for Rory. Looking for a bit of Botox. You don't need it, Rory, you're alright, don't worry about it. Right, we've got the Irish Grand National Trial. No, it's not. It is the Grand National Trial at Haydock. 3 miles, 4.5 furlongs. Iron Bridge. Now, watch your bridges in the Hemming Silks, because Iron Bridge for John Joe Jr. and Sr. is the 4-1 favourite on the first show on Thursday. And you've got Famous Bridge for Nicky Richards, Sean Quinlan in the same colours. That is the second string, potentially. That's owners, different trainers. Famous Bridge also in a Credo or Credo for Anthony Honeyball, 5-1, 11-2, My Silver Lining. I Will Do It, who loves these stamina tests for Sam Thomas and Dylan Johnson, who was on board in the Welsh National already. And Stan Shepherd, who rode him to win the Welsh National 2 seasons ago. 3 seasons ago now, Rory, was it? I Will Do It, 2021 or something. Yeah, it's a long time ago. But yeah. He loved a trip. Who do you fancy?
I fancy Iron Bridge. Listen, I struggled to get John Joe right. I was going to say this season, but ever, fundamentally. Ever since Dawn Run, it's been a struggle to get John Joe right. But the good thing is, currently, you can't get John Joe wrong. 4 of his last 5 runners have won. The yard's in very good form at the moment, which is something you can rarely say in terms of the strike rate from the John Joe near the yard. So that's one good reason to be back in Iron Bridge. The other one is just that he's very, very well handicapped. He did well last season. He was very impressive first time out at Carlisle, and looked like he was being lined up for something at the festival. And I remember speaking to John Joe at the media day there, and he basically said, "There's no point running out at Cheltenham. The ground will be against him." And of course, the ground then was absolutely fine for him. So he was in the Ultima. He was in the Kim Muir, and he was taken out of both those quite a long time before the race. And then, of course, ran the Saturday after the festival at Uttoxeter, in what's often a very informative novice's handicap chase. And he should have won that. He was racing off a mark of 137. A lot of good judges wanted to be with him at Cheltenham off that mark. He ended up being beaten ahead by Autonomous Cloud under what I think you'd have to say was an overly confident ride from John Joe Jr. I mean, John Joe Jr. was pretty sure he was going to pick up the leader all the way up the straight and just forgot to press the button. He ended up getting beaten ahead, finishing fast. They pulled 17 lengths clear of Super Survivor in third. The pair he split started favourite and second favourite for the Welsh National, to give you an idea of the strength of the form. Neither of them ran particularly well in that, but of course Ironbridge ran a cracker. He made his reappearance in, I was going to say this is the Peter O'Sullivan, it wasn't, it was a 2 mile three handicap chase at Ascot, where he was very quietly ridden out the back, wrong trip, jumped slowly at the first in the straight and was pulled up. And interestingly, his price for the Welsh National, you'd have thought that there was three before the Welsh National. You'd imagine a horse who was sort of head of the market or close to head of the market for that race, who pulls up on the reappearance, would drift like a barge. But no, he probably shortened up on the back of that, quite frankly. There was no move at all on the market. And of course, he ended up running an absolute cracker in the Welsh National. But because of the nature of the ground, he ended up being beaten a long way by the winner. Nassalam, you know, won that by 30-odd lengths. And you can't grind putting the runner up in the weights in that kind of scenario. But take Nassalam out of the race and Ironbridge beat I Will Do It, I'm Not Sure, in good style. And I thought that was, despite the distance he was beaten, I thought it was a very good run. And the handicap was dropped in £2 for it. So I think there's definitely a big race in him. The Grand National itself is a very realistic target for Ironbridge. He needs to win this to be... When do the weights? The weights come out next week. Is this the last? Is Saturday the last day before the weights are framed for the national?
I thought these races were after the weights came out.
Oh yeah, you might be right there. Yeah. No one ever invites me to these things, so I tend to miss
ones. I haven't seen much on Twitter about people, you know, going to the luncheon in Liverpool or otherwise. So maybe it is next week.
You don't get penalties for this. Let me just have a look and see if there are any weights for the national.
He's
weighed at 140, so he would, you know. With only 34 runners in the national now, you generally needed to be in the mid 140s to get in there. It's almost like they could do with getting it. There are no weights published for the national yet, so yeah. I think the weights lunch is coming up on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever that is.
No invite,
I'm afraid. So you'd have thought you can't afford to be too softly with a horse with his rating. So I think the handbrake needs to be firmly off here, and this trip is what he needs. As I said, the Welsh National runs an awful lot better than it looks based on distance beaten by Nassalam. And I think he's going to take an awful lot of beating here.
Second in a Welsh National and getting dropped £2. That UK handicap or something else, isn't he? Right, Joe, your thoughts on this at the Grand National Trial?
Don't really have any thoughts on it, to be honest.
Oh, you don't?
I thought Ironbridge was similar to Rory. I thought Ironbridge was the one that I would side with, but it wouldn't be a betting race for me now. Yeah. These staying chases in Britain wouldn't be my forte.
Would they not?
She's not really, no.
Yeah, I must say. I love the staying chasers, yeah.
I do love staying chases, but in Britain now I wouldn't be fully...
More Brit bashing from you. But... Oh, this is great. This is great. The trainers can't train. The staying handicap chases are rubbish. This is great.
Maybe it means they're too good. Just the opposite of rubbish. If they were rubbish, they'd be easy to find the winner of.
It's true.
Good man, Joe. Real capital for those in the... He's a proper Cork man. Watch the wind that shakes the barley. You watch that probably on a daily basis, do you?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Every morning before I get up.
Good man. Right. Ironbridge, a strong selection for Rory in the 3:15. Right, that's ITV Racing covered, lads. For those of you who aren't aware, there's a good card at Goran on Saturday, the Red Mills Trial Day. Which includes the return. I'm flagging this up because Frank Hickey put her up at a massive price, and we talked about the Mare's Hurdle a long time ago on the Cheltenham Countdown Extra. Lantry Lady for Henry de Bromhead. She's 25-1 for the Mare's Hurdle, and he put her up at around that price. She could be really interesting if she hacks up in that 2:17 at Goran. Watch out for her. And then there's the Red Mill Chase as well, a Grade 2 with Willie Mullins and Paul Town, and got St. Sam in that race. Just wanted to flag that up. And then Punchestown, they've got their national trial meeting as well as a very interesting novice hurdle in which we could see the return of that Edward O'Grady JP horse, and the name is No Flies on Him. Is that the one? That's the one?
That's it.
Yeah. So he's entered for that. So it'll be really interesting if he's declared. Now, time for Naps Best Bets. Don't you dare put up Colonel Mustard. Off you go, Jolo. Give me your nap.
Colonel Mustard, 205 win cant in the Kingwell Hurdle. Look, maybe not the best campaigned horse. Bit unlucky to bump into ones. He's been going up the weights without winning, but I think this is his chance here. He's better off on the run in the Scottish Champion Hurdle last year with Rubo. Rubo, to me, looks like a horse that doesn't want the heavy ground. There's 11 mils today at Wincanton. So look, it's going to suit Colonel Mustard, totally against the favourite. I think this is his chance. Yeah, 5-2 at the moment. I think it's a great bet.
Not the best campaigned horse, Joe. Are you serious?
Well, no, there's been chances for him to,
ripped apart nearly five trainers in this one podcast. not the best campaigned horse.
Sometimes for me, I'd always see it as a negative, horses that go up the weights without winning. I think he's probably been a bit unlucky. Maybe there has been other options for him, but look, he's not disgraced behind Statement of Punchestown last year. Was it the right race for him? I'm not too sure. Was there other options or anything like that? But look, this is definitely, you know, good piece of plotting from Lorna Fowler. I think this is a huge chance from here to win a big race.
Get back in the good books. Yeah, good bit of plotting. Yeah, sure it is. Yeah. All right, Rory, you're naff. Go on then.
Well, if Joe's got Colonel Mustard, I'll stick the other leg of my double up, which is a Hoist and Yore in the Ascot Chase. I've also had a little anti-post bet. Colonel Mustard 100-1 for the Champion Hurdle. A Hoist and Yore 20-1 for the Ryanair. Flooring Porter 20-1 for the Stairs Hurdle. And what else have I done? Captain Guinness 20-1 for the Champion Chase.
I'll
happily be beaten 30 lengths into third in each of those contests.
Filthiest each way yak I've ever heard of. Like, whichever bookmaker you place that with, should it click, it'll be the last bet you've ever placed with them, I'd say.
I won't need another bet when that clicks. I should be buying two houses and splitting my time between them.
One in the Antrim Coast and one in Crivilly. Okay, so Colonel Mustard, the nap for Joe in the 205, one win from 12 starts over hurdles. Ahoy Senor in the 336 at Ascot for Rory. Again, he's starting to develop an old habit of not winning races, Ahoy Senor. So fair play if you fancy those two. Check out the latest prices on Paddy Power. Okay, Joe, I suggest you do up your resume or your CV to see how the old race planning job, there'll be plenty of trainers looking for your business, so if the trading doesn't work out. Are you working this weekend, Joe?
Working, actually I'm off Sunday, so I'll go to Punchestown Sunday.
No, nice, good man. Yeah, hopefully that no-fly zone him is declared for that race. Rory, your plans for the weekend?
My plans for the weekend are, on Sunday afternoon I should be getting a flight to Dublin.
Well, that's
come and see if you watch how those taps work in the
Joe was see, you know, the new taps we have in work, Joe, the ones with the new hot tap, and I couldn't figure it out. And
sparkling water and everything. No, I don't either, but it's still fancy, you know.
Water was a bit of, you have to press the lock.
That's why PK's in the office three times as often as you, just trying to sneak in to work out the taps.
I don't want to boil the kettle at home.
I thought you were talking about the beer taps, PK. The good
taps.
That's
only on Thursdays. That's only on Thursdays. And sure, you have to drive home. Like, sure, what am I supposed to do?
I know.
Those days are gone. It's not like Cork. We can't just go drink driving all the time.
Down to Boreens where there's no guards, is it?
Exactly. Well, look, do enjoy that weekend. That means you're staying on Sunday night in Dublin's fair city, Rory.
I am, yeah. I've never had a call from anyone once saying, do you fancy coming out for pints? But, you know.
If you make your way down to Wicklow, I'll show you reasonable pub. There's an offer. Right, lads, look, enjoy the weekend. Thanks for looking ahead to all the action. Hopefully a few winners in there. Come on, the Colonel Mustard, make it two wins from 13 starts.